and for your love and everything that you have done. Thank you for the worship. We consecrated this service to you, and you've brought us to the point of this service. May your name be glorified, Lord. We bless your name with all our hearts. Thank you for everything that you do, Lord. Father, as we go into the world, I pray that your spirit will move within us, that your spirit will speak to us, that your spirit will minister to us. We unite our hearts in the core of the message you've given today, Lord, in love, so that we may be complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So first, I really would like to thank the church. What were the words of Paul? Said, I received from Epaphrathus, the sweet-smelling salvo that you gave. On behalf of Abiola and I, we'd like to really thank the church for your support, and it's well appreciated. We thank you. We bless the Lord for this family of God. May the Lord continue to bless you and increase you, and may the Lord continue to provide for each and every one of us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very, very much. So today, I think it's appropriate that I preach on love. And I like to preach on love, not because I'm not preaching on Christmas, right? Because I know that Christmas, for instance, is, I don't know if December 25th is recognized in heaven, but we recognize it here. And any opportunity to celebrate Jesus, we will. Most times, as the year comes to an end, our thoughts are on what the Lord has done. But as I've been reflecting towards the end of this year, my thought has been on what the Lord will now, because of what he has done, have me do. And I think a lot of focus is placed on reiterating again and again the goodness of the Lord, as though that goodness is not self-evident. God is faithful and good. We sang a song that says, whether men will praise you or not, you remain the same. That is established. As this goodness enters our heart, I remember that passage that says, the goodness of the Lord is meant to bring us to repentance. I'm wondering, I always wonder in prayer and reflectively, like, having received this goodness and grace, Lord, how am I measuring up? What do you expect of me? In arithmetic, we have all kinds of variables. In science, we have dependent, independent variables. Given what, you know, obviously I've been helping my children with a lot of homework, right? So, yeah, there you go. I had to go and Google what that was. I'd forgotten. It's been a long time. So as the year comes to an end, what is on my mind is, Lord, how can I give you pleasure? You've given to me tremendous pleasure. When, without his pleasure, when he closes his eyes, I'm, like David said, I'm scared. When he opens it, I'm secure. But what I like us to, as we come to the end of the year, to reflect on is, what in the face of God's tremendous love and kindness, what are his expectation of you? His expectation of me. The Bible says one day the Lord Jesus will come, and he's going to make everybody give an account of what they have done in the flesh. He's not going to make us reiterate the gospel again. The preaching of the gospel will be over when Jesus comes. That chapter will be closed. The question will be, what have we done with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I say this because I sit down and I reflect on my life, and I remember that the Lord requires of us to grow as Christians. I remember that parable, I think it's in the 15th chapter of the book of John, about the vineyard, where the vineyard is like a garden, and the gardener, the owner of the vineyard, kept going to the gardener every year to check whether there's fruit on the tree or not. And there was this particular tree that every year it wasn't dying, yet it wasn't bearing fruit. And the gardener kept saying, oh, Lord, look, I'm dressing this vineyard. It's not bearing fruit. What shall I do? Shall I cut it off? And the owner of the gardener said, no, give it one more year. Give it one more year. Give it one more year. And I said to myself, Lord, I don't want to be the kind of Christian that you keep coming back every year and there's no fruit. And I remember that passage ended by the Lord saying, look, I am the husbandman. Every tree in me that does not bear fruit will eventually be pruned. But even the trees that will eventually be uprooted, but even those trees that do bear fruit, he said, I'm going to prune them so that they can bear more fruit. God has an expectation of us that as Christians, we will continue to reflect more and more the nature of the Lord Jesus, and the world will know that we are a different generation and a different people. So my question as we, for myself in prayer and for you as a church is, are you growing? And when I say, are you growing, it becomes an arbitrary question. So I want to make that question a very practical one. Let's turn our Bibles, because I'm going to preach this morning on love. Every time that I want to get my Christian compass corrected and tuned, I read 1 Corinthians 13. Because 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, takes us back to the fundamentals of what the Lord Jesus expects of us. And I'd like us as a congregation to read it as we begin to explore what the mind of God is. 1 Corinthians, Alex, welcome. Angel, welcome. We love to have you. And I hope that today, Alex, remember when we spoke, I told you not to go to any ordinary church, because we might go to some places and get more confused. I hope that today it will please the Lord Jesus Christ as he speaks to all of us, that you begin to see not this congregation, but you begin to see that dynamic man, Jesus of Nazareth, his wisdom, his insight, his glory, but especially his love. He's a wonderful man. He's a wonderful man. And we're going to be reading a few verses from him. I just want you to listen carefully to what Jesus has to say about this universe, about us as Christians, and about us as individuals, right? And Angel and everybody. So welcome. So let's open our Bibles briefly to 1 Corinthians 13. And I'd like us to just reflect on this. This requirement from the Lord as we end yet another year. So, Paul, at this stage, Paul was the writer of most of the New Testament. And he had written, he was like a good, great servant of Jesus. He wrote most of the letters of the New Testament. And at this point, he had written about so many things. Especially, he had just written about the deep things of spiritual secrets. You know, he had delved into what you would call the mysteries of the Spirit. He had delved into spiritual gifts, into the spiritual offices, the offices in scriptures, all of that. Very difficult topics to deal with. He had dealt with grace. He had dealt with all of this. Then suddenly, he now said, at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, he said, why does my Bible keep flipping to 2 Corinthians? Then he said, I really would like you to pay attention to everything we've been teaching since the beginning of the year. That wasn't what he said. I'm paraphrasing, right? He said, earnestly desire the best gifts. But you know what? I want to even show you an easier and a better way. As we reflect on what the expectation of Christ, as you sit here this morning, and you're wondering, what does the Lord expect of me? Does the Lord expect me to sing better? Does he expect me to give more of my possession to the poor? Does he expect me to be a better child? Does he expect me to be? As we ask all of these basic questions, Paul said, there are so many things to inquire of the Lord, but let me show you a very simple answer to what it means to be a Christian. I want you to desire all of these things we've been talking about. But let me show you what, as a Christian, your focus ought to be. Then it started from chapter 13. Children, you can understand this, right? I want you to, as you reflect on being a Christian, I want you to listen to this and understand it as well. He said, although I speak with the tongues of men, and angels, if I have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. If in the church I'm the most gifted and I have the gift of prophecy, verse 2, I understand the entire Bible from cover to cover. If I have the kind of faith that can move mountains, and there's no love in me, no matter how spiritual I feel, it's nothing. He said, we might do all the charity we want, give our entire tithes and offering to Stevenson Center. We might give our entire tithes and offering, you might give them even our salaries and owe the mortgage company. He said, if we have love, if we have not love, that it will profit us nothing. Not only that, you can be very passionate and zealous for the Lord Jesus Christ, such that you can offer your body to be burned with fire for the sake of Christ at stake. If you do not have love, it profits you nothing. Love. Love. That pillar of Christianity. Love. And then we begin to ask, what then is this love? What is it that we're supposed to seek after? Let's flip to chapter 14 and the very first statement there. I'd like us to read it out from our Bibles. What does it say? What? Chapter 14, verse, the very first statement in 1 Corinthians 14. Follow after love. Another translation. Follow after charity, okay, which is love. Let love be your highest goal. Pursue love. It's an active verb. As Christians, we must actively pursue the things that be of love. And I reflect on these passages. Then what is love? What exactly is the apostle saying that we Christians should follow after? Let's go back. It says, love suffers long. Now, I want you to note, this passage says you should follow and pursue. What does that mean? It means there are not things that come naturally. You don't follow after the things that naturally follow you. You pursue after the things that are naturally running away from you. That means it's not in our instinct, except by through Christ, seeking it, that we will naturally do some of these things. It means if you do not strive, make it your objective to grow in this thing, it will not happen. What things? Love suffers long. What does this mean? I hope some of us are convicted as we speak. Some of us are waiting for the first offense. Some of us are ready to put up a guard once we meet, even if it's someone that did not greet us. We need only one. If you don't greet me, I will not greet you back. It says, love suffers long. But I want you to concentrate on follow after pursue. That means you are going to have an instinct. Satan will throw an instinct in you that someone will offend you and you will want to take offense. But the Bible is saying, don't take offense. Against your very instinct, remember the commandments of Jesus and respond in love. Follow after long suffering. I pray there will come a day when as Christians we will not be so guarded. I mean, in the kingdom generally. When we suffer long with one another. Oh, where is the brother or the sister who we place a call and say, are you mad at me? Are you mad? Please don't be mad at me. Mommy, please don't be mad. Oh, you weren't smiling at me in church. Did I make you mad? No. Mommy, please, I'm sorry. I'm always saying, no, my son, I'm not angry. I was just hungry. Love suffers long. This is what it also, it means even when the offense is obvious, you are still able to wave it off and give the person the benefit of doubt. I want you to think about it. You know, as we sit here, many of us are wondering, how can I serve Jesus? How can I serve Jesus? It's by love. He said, if we do not love the brethren that we see, how can we possibly profess and be sure that we love the God that we do not see? Love suffers long. Love does not easily take offense. Love does not... Let's continue to read, actually, I think. He said, love is kind. You see, brethren, this is not just a marriage. In the congregation of the saints, these are things we must pursue. In every, you have a, I always say that if you don't have, I don't know how we expect a perfect marriage, right, between two imperfect Christians. I mean, you can only be who you are. Who you are will show up in the most intimate of your relationships. So if you work on yourself to be the kind of person that Jesus wants us to be, then we will have happy relationships at work, happy relationships in our marriages. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not all about him. It's not all about her. Love is ready to see others succeed. It's happy with other people's success. And this was the very nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Love is not puffed up. Love does not go, how dare you? It does not behave rudely. This one really catches me. It says, love does not seek his own interests. Love is always thinking about the interests of others. You see, in every relationship you are on, I had a discussion with someone, and I said, look, if you make it your life, and I think it's in the scriptures as well, that how will this person feel? Or how will I feel if this person behaves that way to me? As a Christian, we're obligated to be people who we think first and behave in the interest of the other person. In everything we do, if we go, how will I want this person to behave to me in this circumstance? If you are mad and you are waiting and you are hoping that someone will come to you and apologize, then you be the one to do it. That's what love does. Seeks the interest of others. And this is the calling of our Lord Jesus Christ to us. This is how we behave as Christians. Love bears all things, believes all things. That means it's not, love does not have a doubtful nature. You are suspicious, right? Your first instinct when people tell you things is that it's not true. You see only evil. Love tends to see the good in people. Even the people who are wicked to Jesus, his response was, Lord, please help them. They don't know. It's ignorance. Forgive them. And love rejoices in truth. Some of us rejoice in rumors. You know, just anything to tarnish the reputation of another person. Ah, did you hear what he did? Love does not do that. Love seeks the truth, gives people the benefit of doubt. There he went, love never fails. It bears all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. There he went, fellowship will fail, prophecy will fail, knowledge will fail, but love never fails. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then when Jesus comes, we'll see face to face. We know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Now there abides three things. We've had a lot of sermons on faith. We've had a lot of sermons on hope and love. These three, but the greatest of them is love. And then 14 starts by saying, pursue love. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about love severally in his word. I'd like you to write this down. In John 13, 34 to 35, he said, here's the new commandment I'm giving to you, that you should have love one for another. By this shall people know that you are my disciples indeed, if you love one another. Matthew 5:43-47, it tells us there to love one another, to love even our enemies, and pray for those who despisefully use us. Now, as I'm saying this, I hope that you are beginning to realize that there's a lot of work to do. Many of us carry on in our Christian walk, and we're wondering, what is it that we ought to be working on? He says, I'll show you the better way. We ought to walk every morning and pray that as I'm going out this morning, Lord, help me to love even the unlovable. Help me to be patient. Help me to be kind, because this is how the world will know that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you love? John told us that we love because God first loved us. And Paul was preaching to the Ephesians. He's praying that you will know the love of God. See, you cannot love unless you know the love of God. I was saying on Friday that in this church, we began to tell about the wonderful things that God has done in our lives. And if you think back, I think God has made it very clear to all of us that he truly loves us. And because he loves us, we also can love one another. So as we go into the new year, I just charge you. I don't know how many verses you know about love, but I charge you to make it your objective and your goal that you are going to love. Refuse to be an ordinary human being. When the Lord Jesus Christ came on earth, what set him apart from other rabbis, from the Pharisees and Sadducees, was that he loved. He so loved, he gave of himself. The measure of how much you love is the measure of yourself that you can give to others. In fact, the commandment in John, in 1 John chapter 4, the elder John to us, is that, look at Jesus. He said, if Jesus so loved us, then we ought to love one another and even give our lives for one another. I pray that we will grow in kindness, in compassion, in consideration, in selflessness, in the service of one another. And by so doing, we'll be moving closer and closer to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Brethren, this is why people are no longer convinced that there's true faith. You see, the gospel had been preached in Jerusalem for a long time. They've had different kinds of rabbis and teachers. Times had come and gone. But until the Lord Jesus Christ came and demonstrated love and grace, the world did not understand God. But when they observed the sacrifices of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they observed his compassion, when they saw him walk in the way he preached, then they realized that a new thing had happened in Jerusalem. This is the kind of thing that Christ is calling us to. I pray that we will not settle for something less. God is waiting for us. He said, nobody lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. I don't want you to test yourself by any other standard. You see, we can become very self-satisfied as Christians. We can sit on grace. We push, and everything is on grace. Don't get me wrong, right? But we forget the responsibility that grace has put on us. In Titus chapter 1, it says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to us. And this grace teaches us that we should neglect worldly lust and we should live soberly in this present world while we wait for the appearance of Jesus. Grace is an active thing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us and empowers us to love one another. So the next time you get angry, remember that if you do not let that anger take over you, you are serving Jesus. Let's learn to pursue the things of love. This is how the world will know. This is how the world will receive Christ. Can you imagine? I mean, it happens to all of us. Can you imagine preaching the gospel to someone that you just, maybe a customer service rep, that you just snapped at? You know, you're talking to someone, you go, you know, this is the third time I'm calling you. And I did that with the Malu people on. I did that with Malu people on Friday, and the Lord said to me, love suffers long. The Holy Spirit reminded me, Adewale, love suffers long, love suffers long, love suffers long, love suffers long. I said, do I? So I had to modulate my voice. Then I smiled. Although there was fire in my belly, I smiled. I said, oh, guys, I've been on this thing since, you know, can you please have someone call your warehouse? It was love speaking, because I started off with, is this the kind of customer service you... Then love suffers long. Relax, it's only cheers. Just relax, relax. So we must, and that was because I remembered pursue love, and love suffers long. The word of the Lord is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our path. A light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. I just want us to know as we close out the year, that is the calling of Jesus in our homes, in our lives, at our workplaces, that we go out there and be the ones that can take the offense. The Lord commands us, even as he took upon himself the sin of the whole world, to, for the sake of righteousness, also bear the offense upon our shoulders. We should be the ones to demonstrate to the world unusual kindness that they've never seen before. This is the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what you can work on. The next time you're angry, control yourself. The next time you want to take offense, put it on the Lord Jesus Christ. The next time an unkind word is coming from your mouth, pray for the strength of the Lord. So that by this time next year, we'll be able to say, remember, one of the fruit of the Spirit is love. That, Lord, we have advanced in this particular fruit of the Spirit. I pray, Lord, I pray that it will not be that the Son of Glory will come and he will meet us with no fruit on our branches. It's a burden and it's a calling. In fact, I've seen some people begin to preach that this love only talks about the love of Jesus and we're not obligated to. No, well, that's not the way I read it. This sounds to me it started by Paul said, I'm going to teach you a better way. I want to give you a direct instruction. I want to tell you what to do. If you can't memorize Romans, if you don't know the secret of law and grace, if you don't know the secret of all of these doctrines I've been teaching you, let me show you a simpler way, just love. The Bible says love is the bond of perfection. I think it was Peter, the elder Peter, that told us love covers a multitude of sins. So if you pray for anything this year, pray for the power to love. Pray for the power to love your enemies. Because Jesus did. And there's grace in Zion to do it. Pray for the power to be... How many of you here want to be different? How many of you here want to be unusual? You are not unusual by giving great prophecies. We've seen many prophets that went to hell. You will meet a lot of prophets in hell. Oh, no, they'll be there. Oh. No, we won't be there. I mean, there will be a lot of prophets in hell. There will be lots of prophets. May we not be there to meet them? Well, we will see them. Abraham saw, so we will see. In hell. There'll be lots of pastors in hell. There'll be lots of choristers in hell. There'll be lots of Christians in hell. There's no man whose heart is filled with love that will be in hell. Pursue. Don't, he said you should seek after spiritual gifts. And then he also told us, only seek after spiritual gifts because you want to use it to help people. If you look at his old thesis, even on, so this spiritual gift, you should seek after it even in love, not for selfish gains. But if you really want something practical to go into the new year with, seek love. Love is the most difficult thing. And yet as we move closer to Jesus, it's the easiest thing. Seek it. Pray for it. Pray, Lord. He said, whatever you do to the least of the brethren, you have done to me. We can forgive people their offenses in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you find out that you cannot, if you find out that you cannot bear it, there's cheer this morning. Make it your goal. That's what the sermon is about. So that in yourself, by this time next year, you'll be able to say, I'm closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the love of God. The love of God, he said, what will you profit if you are only kind to those who are kind to you? Or if you say hello to those who say hello to you? He said, even the Gentiles do these things. It's not impressive. If you are only tender towards those who are tender towards you, if you say good morning only to your nice neighbors, so what is special? Everybody does that. But if you find people who are cruel towards you and you are able to respond, it shows that Jesus is in you. And I think this is, as I close the sermon, I think this is where we are deficient as Christians. I think this is where we are not growing. I think this is where we are not challenging one another. And we must challenge one another to grow in this grace. Jesus wants to receive glory from us. The glory of Jesus is not in how big a house we buy. The glory of Jesus is not in how smart we dress. The glory of Jesus is not how rich we are. Some people think the glory of Jesus is if you prosper with your skills, as though people who are not skilled are not Christians. God gives all of this because he wants us to. We are not going to take any of these skills to heaven. The most skilled people in the world are not even Christians. The glory of the Lord in the life of a believer is if in the grace of God they are able to do things that are not common. If you are able to behave like Stephen, who they were stoning, and then he was saying, forgive them, Lord. Wow, who does that? Who does? What kind of spirit resides in a man? Right? When they insult you and they despitefully use you, and you say, may the Lord bless you, or you just laugh, you become like Teflon. You're untouchable. The Bible says that a man who is soon angered is like a city without a wall. All the arrows of his enemies, of the city's enemies, will penetrate. Say, he who rules his spirit is greater than he who takes a nation. Jesus expects us to copy him this way. And then the world will know that we are Christians indeed. Now, is this where we were? No, it says Christ commended his love towards us in Romans 5:8. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ, that it did not wait for us to be saints before he loved us. So also don't wait for that person to turn before you demonstrate Jesus to them. It is why they are offending you that you are most useful to them. That is the thing they've never seen before. They've never seen a man smile at them while they are being cruel. This is a practical thing. We can know all the verses from Genesis to Revelation, but if we do not know to put on a smile in the most unlikely circumstances, then we have a lot of work to do. As Jesus said, pursue love. Seek spiritual gift, but let your pursuit be love. No offenses. This year, learn to forgive your husbands. He's not saying good morning to me. I'm not going to say, you husbands too. You know, in Christianity, it is the person that first says good morning that is the greatest. Do you know? It's the least. The least, that's the greatest. Not the person that is, yeah, let everybody come to me and say hello. Let everybody come to me. If you are the one during, if you are the one, mommy, how are you? Ekwenema, Alex, how are you? How are you? Damilola, how are you? And people say, he doesn't know how to pose. Some people will just stand, let him come to me. Or some of us will be selective in the people we love. He's tall and handsome, I love him. He smells like skunk. I don't love him. Jesus loves liberally. Actually, you know love when you know to love the loveless. If you learn to give, Jesus said, if you give only to people who give, if you give only to people who give you back, he said, you've received your reward. But if you learn to give to people who cannot give you back, if you learn to do your favor in secret that only angels know about, then you are resembling Jesus small by small. See how hard Christianity is? But as we exercise ourselves in it, we will grow in it. How do we exercise ourselves in it? We must remind ourselves. Collectively, let's know where we're heading. This is where we're heading. We're heading towards the perfect man. We're heading towards the excellency of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let this be the challenge of New Covenant Church. Let's tear up this thing a bit, right? Let brotherly love continue. Say, have fervent love amidst one another. Let's tear one another. Think of unusual things that you can do. Pray in the morning for it. Let there be no fight this new year. No offense this new year. Amidst all of us. No fight. When someone fights you, let's be counting how many times we smiled when they annoyed us. Because the measure of how many times you smiled in the face of annoyance is the measure of your growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we understand this morning? Nobody lights a candle. Too many times our lights as Christians are hidden. With homeowners association, let's be patient. Right? In little things, let's be patient. Is the airline late? Let's be patient. It's a lot, right? But we cannot grow in these things until we remind one another. The customer service, I'm always fighting with customer service. This year, I thank God I'm learning to chuckle. Although fire is in my belly, I will chuckle, and it's helped. Now the fire is being doused, right? We Christians expect justice. We expect equity. We expect fairness. Lose all of that. You cannot be a follower of Jesus if you have an expectation of those three. You will never receive justice from the world. And that expectation will always get in the way of love. Because if you expect justice, you'll be annoyed when you don't get it. If you expect equity, people give what is fair to me, you will never be able to love. It will get in the way of loving those who do not. Rather, let's keep our focus on Jesus, who expected nothing, who gave his all. May the Lord help us. May the Lord build us up. May the love of the Lord. Paul prayed that our love will grow more and more in all spiritual understanding and with knowledge. As our knowledge grows, our love will grow. As our money grows, may our love grow. As everything goes around us, may our love. Let love be your pursuit. Just remember, you owe, because of what Jesus has done, the amount of death he has forgiven us, you owe the burden of love to everyone, especially to those who annoy you the most. It's a burden that you owe to Christ. And let's pay it. The Lord's Prayer said, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Let us pray. By your Spirit, Father, we pray that your love will flow in us. Your word says that the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost whom you've given to us. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, as we've read just how important love is, that the greatest, your word says the greatest commandment is love. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will help us to love one another with a true and a fervent heart. Help us, Father, to feel one for another. Help us, Father, to practice all of this, to be complete in all of these attributes of love. Baba, we want to serve you. You said, if we went through all of this, you said, he that runs must run in a way that is acceptable to you. Father, you have made clear that your work is that we believe in Jesus. that your commandment is that we love one another. Father, this is the way that is acceptable to you. We confess our flaws several times, that patience at times is limited, our kindness knows limit. But now we ask for the grace that we will grow in patience and grow in kindness, grow in all of the attributes of love by your Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. That, Father, as the world looks at us, they will know that we have been with Jesus. They will know that we are your disciples indeed. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We give you all the glory and the honor. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.